All right, so Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, we're going to read the first seven verses. If you're there, say amen. If you get your Bible, hold up and say, got it.
Got it.
Look at that, Cody. You got your Bible right. Hold that up, Cody. Look at that. And I see Cody Camacho right here today. Oh, and look at this. I was talking to this guy the other day, and 6'3", 250, 32 years old. He's talking about struggling with the truth of the gospel. And he says, yes, you know, being the younger generation, I said, buddy, I got to let you know, you're no longer the younger generation. And Mary Jo, you are grabbing on right there with Cody, electronic Bible. There you go. ¿Está listo? ¿Listo?
Yeah.
How come I only get one yes?
Yeah.
All right. There we go. See, got it. All right. All right, here we go. Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. Now. Everybody say now, would you?
Now.
Gloria, este lado.
Yes.
You can say ahora if you know Spanish. There we go. We got it all right. Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering around to hear him. We're talking about Jesus here. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you, that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Lord, I thank you for your word that is a lamp unto our feet. I thank you for Ms. Natty translating this Spanish over there in the overflow. I thank you that you would do a mighty work in our lives today, that you would be high and lifted up. I pray, Lord, that you would open your word to our hearts, and that we would be transformed. And we'll give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen,
amen, amen, amen. We are talking about looking for the lost. And Jesus is describing the sentiment of finding the lost. I was going to share a story about my son who was lost. But I figured that there was just no way I could capture the sentiment that my wife would bring to you this morning. Now, see, well, I'm sure she will share all the details. She said she was sure that I would not get it correct, so I gladly give up the microphone to my wonderful
he
wife.
He would not get it right. Okay, so this morning he asked me to share this. And when Joey was two, my little two-year-old, I remember the shirt he had on still, a little red shirt with the Dalmatians on it. Leanne, we were at the fair, the county fair in Sacramento. It's bigger than Del Mar, so huge fair. And we were together, and so Leanne wanted to go do something. So I said, okay, Bob, you have Joey, and I had Leanne. And I see how God's goodness, truthfully, God's goodness, because Leanne, we just went a little ways, and she goes, Mommy, I don't want to go. I'm like, what? You don't? So we turned around, and we went back. And it was a minute. Thank you, Lord. I was overcome with this in the shower when I thought about it. And so I'm looking around. I don't see my little red-shirted little boy. I look at Bob. I go, where's Joey? And he's like, oh, he's right here. Like, no, he's not right here. I've already scanned. Mama scan, right, you guys? We can scan that area, better than a laser. And I'm like, he is not here. Where is Joey? And he's like, no, he's right here. I go, Bob? He's not here. I'm starting that mommy panic, that little toddler, and you're at this huge thing, and every worst thing that could happen to your child is running through your mind. So walking around the perimeter looking and just scanning and looking, and then I said, God, okay, Lord, I have to pray. You know where Joey is. I literally made myself stop and pray, but I was still moving. And the security officer came over. He goes, ma'am, are you okay? I go, no, I've lost my son. I've lost my son, and he wants me to stop and talk to him. And I'm like, no, I can't. Like, you're looking, you're frantic looking, right? Even though you're praying. And then he says, will you describe your son? And then, moms and dads. I'm like, I don't want to be describing my son. that just my heart is just like, oh my goodness. And I'm just like, God, please find him. And then I'm describing him, and way just over his shoulder, this security guard, I see Joey. I'm not good at yardage, so a football field away. He's playing a little game over there. He's having so much fun. He doesn't know he's lost. He's having fun. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there he is. And I just start running, and I'm crying by then. I'm thanking God.
She doesn't do
I'm
a lot
crying.
Of running, by the way.
What?
You don't do a lot of running.
Thank you for making that known, babe. So then, and I'm like crying, and I get to Joey, and Joey's like, Mom, look at this. He's so excited. Like, Mom, this is so cool. It was a little fishy game, and I'm like, and I'm crying. Then he's like, Mommy, cry. Like, he's so confused. And, so that relief, that joy. I sat down on the little grassy knoll right there, and I just bawled. For about a minute or two, because I that relief of just, oh, my baby was gone. I didn't know. And God, you know, I was trusting you. But yay, we're connected. So would you have told the story just like that, honey?
Yeah. You know, there's other emotions, you know, that go through the male mind. It's like, yes, there's the elation at being found. And then there is, in that 1 minute of uncontrollable weeping, following Joe's being found, that worry, you know, that fear that just begins to percolate in your soul as you realize, oh yeah, after this, I'm going to be in trouble. And so anyway, I wanted to let Lisa share that information with you, but I wanted to convey that. We talk about looking for the lost, and we talk about the heart of God, the passion of God, the desire of God. We are looking into the Gospel of Luke. We are looking at the kingdom of God. And last week we took a look at the cost of the kingdom, the cost of discipleship, in which the entire life of... Now, I know you ladies speak Spanish. You can come over here. We have air conditioning over here. You're welcome over here to come over to the English zone. That's okay. I don't know. Coming off the cost of discipleship, and there is a high cost. Everything that you have, Bible says right there, Luke chapter 14, verse 27, anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. That's about as big a cost as there is. Can I get a witness on that? So now we are moving from chapter 14 into chapter 15, and Jesus begins to describe the lostness of his people. He describes the heart of God. The heart of God is for the lost. And he points out that those that are part of the kingdom, those that follow the Lord, share that sentiment of a desire for the lost to be found. His problem was with the religious leaders of the day. They did not share that sentiment, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. See, they needed a transformation of the heart. And as you come to heaven, as you come to the kingdom of God, everything changes. Amen? And everything needs to change as we step into the kingdom. See, their problem, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they were like Joe. They didn't realize that they were lost. And they are sitting there in their smugness, off on the side, looking at Jesus preaching, saying, how messed up this guy is. The title of the message is, Looking for the Lost. Maybe you come in here today a little lost. I want to let you know that you are indeed in the right place. Amen? All right, here we go. Problems with the crowd. Problems with the crowd. We learned back in chapter 14 that there were indeed large crowds that were following Jesus. Read what I read earlier. The tax collectors, tax collectors and sinners. There's quotes on that sinner. That is not the word that Jesus would have used. Sinners is the word that the Pharisees used to refer to this group of people that were flocking who realized that they were lost, realized they needed something new, and realized that Jesus had the answer. Amen? They were sinners. They were the lost. They were gathering around to hear the Lord. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And the problem is that the crowd is not clean enough. The crowd is not clean enough. Large crowds, they would have been happier had there been ropes that would have tied off the sections, the access to Jesus. Because that's what they had. Pharisees mean, the word Pharisee in Hebrew means separate ones or separated ones. And they took great pride in their separation from those who sin. And their entire life was focused on the Lord and focused on obeying the laws of the Lord and how they had codified His word into 640 different laws. And they were indeed separated, but they put walls up that would separate themselves from the Gentiles, from the sinners, those Jews who had prostituted themselves, the tax collectors who were sellouts and would rip off their own people for a commission and then pay the rest of the money to the Romans. They had a sign in the temple area, barrier that they had erected. Court of the Gentiles. No stranger is to enter within the partition wall and enclosure around the sanctuary. Whoever is caught will be responsible to himself for his death, which will ensue. Boy, that's a welcome sign. Don't come in here or we will kill you. It'd be like Spanish speakers over here. Oh, no, you can't come anywhere else upon pain of death. They had erected walls in the very temple, prevented access to God. They had created walls in their lives. They did not realize that the very walls that they created to separate themselves from the sinners were the same walls that separated themselves from God. See, there was a problem. Kingdom values. They're muttering under their breath, kind of chicken. Jesus knows their heart. He says, let me tell you a couple of stories here. Jesus told them this parable. There is the one that I'm going to relate to you. I'm going to tell you the second one. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep." I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Jesus says, this is my Father's heart. This is the value of the kingdom of God. There is a concern over the lost. 99 sheep represent the regular folks, folks that the Pharisees would have hung out with. And that one sheep does not represent somebody who stopped coming to church for a month. They hear that all the time. Oh, there's that lost sheep, go chase it. Right. A lot more than one. But that one sheep represents the lost children of Israel. Those that have been separated by their choices. The tax collectors, the prostitutes, thieves. They are separated. They are lost. And Jesus says, aren't you going to run after that lost sheep? He said, the lost children of Israel are worth more than livestock. And when he finds that sheep, he puts it on his shoulder because that lost lamb is going to be terrified, and he carries it home, and there's a celebration. There's a celebration in heaven. And that phrase describes the celebration that God has when the lost come home. The second story is a story of a woman with 10 coins. They are a set. And a woman who would lose one of her 10 coins, she would make a headdress and dangle these 10 coins around it, around her head, and wear it as jewelry. And these 10 coins were represented or were her dowry. That this was the bride price. This is what the bride brought to her husband to be married. And so this woman who loses one of her coins can now not be married because she only has 9 coins. She must have 10. And so there's great despair. Oh, what am I doing? My whole future is in doubt. So she cleans her whole place and she's looking. And then when she finds it, there is a celebration. And the 9 that she has represents the normal people. And that lost one. Tax collectors and sinners. People who need to be found. Rejoicing in heaven. Rejoicing when the lost are found. Father sent the Son, gave him purpose. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. The Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. Heaven changes everything. Amen? I asked Roki Camacho to come up here and speak. Describe change.
Good morning, everyone. Change can be difficult.
Can I get a witness on that?
To share a little story, I'm not sure many of you know that my wife and I have been married for 8 years, going on 9, and my wife's grandparents bought us a bed, and that bed frame has gone kaput. And so we've been sleeping on the floor, or on the mattress on the floor for about, 6 months to almost a year. My wife wanted me to make a homemade bed frame out of pallets to sand it and paint it. And I didn't want to have nothing to do with that. So anyhow, I went and bought on Amazon a metal bed frame that was able to put our mattress on top of the frame. And along with that, I bought some nice ceramic pots for my wife because she's concerned about, cooking. But anyhow, I was excited. I bought the frame, and she comes home and says, "That ain't nothing special." And for me, that was just like, ugh. It broke my heart. I mean, I was even mad about that. Here I am trying to please my wife. And the one thing that I did not include was, the only thing that the problem was, I didn't include my wife in the deal. She says, next time you should include, we should do this as a team. And to me, I wasn't thinking as a team. I was thinking of myself. I just wanted to get this done and over with. And that was hard. I didn't even forgive my wife for that, for saying this is special or that's nothing special. So anyhow, I had a meeting with Pastor Bob last night, and I shared this.
What about the pots?
And the pots, the pots. She bought the pots. And sure enough, I did my reviews, and then she had to go and do her reviews. I was like, you can't trust me for, picking the right pots. So anyhow, they were the right pots. So I got lucky in that. Then the other thing was...
Wait, we had the meeting.
We had the meeting last night, and I shared with Pastor Bob what was going on. And so my wife wanted me to buy, measure the measurements of the bed frame and put a plywood under there, and maybe because the bed was hurting her back. And I was like, man, I really didn't want to do the plywood thing. So the thing was to buy a mattress. And I was like, I just wanted to buy the mattress on my own. And so Pastor Bob was giving me ideas on how to, maybe surprise her and buy the mattress. So, but I didn't do that. So last night, as I came home and I asked her, I found a mattress on Amazon. Hey, here you go. Let me know what you think. And she looked at it, and it was the mattress. She said, okay, it looks good, so just order it. So I ordered it. Just doing that was a challenge for me, asking my wife, hey, here you go. Because me knowing as a man, I know it's the right one anyway, but we have to go to that extra step and, include our wives in it. And sometimes, as men we lead, sometimes we tend to lead in the wrong way, in a way that doesn't include our wife and decisions that we make. So doing that, she said, okay, and so I did it. So hopefully, I hope my wife is pleased with the bed when it arrives.
And that was change.
And that was change.
That was change. You know, I was in on this. Last night, I'm talking to Roki, and I'm going, yeah, go surprise, man. Because, I mean, how many of you guys like surprising your wives, you know? It's like, it's, you know, hey, that's like the challenge. And you know, I see Teresa going, you're a nut. Yeah. See, and so I go home, and I was telling my wife.
Yeah. The problem is that I have arthritis in my back, so you can't it doesn't help just go in.
Well, my wife doesn't have arthritis, and she didn't like the idea either, because I told her what a great idea that we had, and she just says, you got no clue. She says she wants team, and now you're just going to go ahead and ignore the team statement so you can have a surprise. And I'm like, yeah. And so I had to text Roki, no, bad move. My wife will forward more information. So he texted me back this morning, no, I got it. I got a handle. I let her in on it. So, but it's a change, man, and I'll tell you what, it is tough. Making changes. Can I get a witness on that? Heaven changes things. Heaven changes you. Amen? All right, let's continue on. Story of the prodigal. Prodigal son, the reckless son, the wild son. Jesus continued. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. There is a problem with the younger son. Can I get a witness on that? Two sons, the younger and the older, the good one and the bad one, the calm one and the wild one, polar opposites. The younger son, don't forget this, represents the tax collectors and the sinners. Because that's what the Pharisees and the Sadducees were, or Pharisees and the tax collectors, teachers of the law, were describing at the beginning of this chapter, right? They're muttering, sinners and tax collectors. He welcomes them and he eats with them. So, Jesus is on his third parable now. And he says, yes, you got the younger one. He's like the sinners. He's like the tax collectors, and the older son is not lined out, but he's like the Pharisees. And so we got polar opposites here, and Jesus is telling this story, and they're going, oh yeah, we know what you're talking about now, because a younger kid is bad. And we understand. We move through this parable, we'll realize that both have issues. Get into heaven, everybody's got to change. Amen? The younger asked for his inheritance from his dad, and he would have got half of what his older brother got. One third for the younger son, two thirds for the older son. And he takes his money, and realistically, anybody ever blown a bunch of money? Look at that. Now, did you set out and say, I'm just going to go out and blow some money? Yeah, George? Well, I mean, you go out to spend money, but you don't want to go out and squander money. And I don't think this guy said, I'm just going to go out and lose all my money with wild living. You can insert your kind of wild here. I don't know what's wild to you, but this guy was wild. And he lost all of his money. Insert your kind of wild here. Whatever wild you got, it'll end up consuming you. It'll create pain. It'll leave you lost, and it'll leave you alone. And that's where this guy ended up, lost and alone. Wild living has consumed him. He's in a bad place. His problem? He doesn't even know it yet, just like Joe. You tracking with me? He says, I'm going to get a job. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that. See, there's this kind of middle area where he's making it. He's scratching through. George, after a while living, you're just kind of scratching through, right? Just kind of making it, right? That's what's going on with the younger son. He'd spent everything. There was severe famine in the whole country. And he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. That's a challenge. He's feeding pigs, and Jews don't even eat pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating. But they didn't even trust him with the food. He wasn't giving out the food. Other guys had the food. He couldn't even get any of the pig food to eat. That's a pretty sorry existence. Can I get a witness on that? Go to the casino, right? Free drinks, free food, all that, until you got no money, man. You can't even get pig food to eat then. They look at you like you are just dirt on the floor. When he came to his senses, I love that section. He said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and I have sinned against you. The younger son is down and out. Looking for a job, and I want to let you know that God thinks jobs are a good thing. Amen? Work is a good thing. Problem is this guy is just scratching together an existence. He's lost, and he doesn't even know it. And so out of God's goodness and mercy, famine hits the land and exposes his situation, exposes his need until the pain in his life and the pain that is surrounding him becomes so great that he comes to his senses. And he says, I can go to my father's house. I can make a change. Because everybody changes in the kingdom. Amen? God doesn't just leave him there. Your life will expose your lack. I'll go home to dad. His employees are treated better than I am. I'll beg to be a servant. I'll confess my sin to him. And he'll take me back. Big change. Everybody's got to change for heaven. Amen? Opportunity. This guy's opportunity. I don't know if I was... Oh, yeah. Eugene Finney. Anybody heard of Eugene Finney? What? You know him? Oh, did you? He is from San Jose. He's in Huntington Beach within the last month or so. And they had the big old giant swell. My son Joe was saying, man, Dad, the waves are huge here. So he's got his little like three-year-old daughter with him. And they're out in the waves. And the waves are cresting at, you know, 9-10 feet, which is pretty big waves. And so big old wave has come, and he grabs his little girl, and they are like 10, 15 feet under the water under this great big wave, and he just gets slammed in his back. And he's like, whoa, you know. And so he gets out, and his daughter goes, Daddy, you're bleeding on your back. And he looks back, and he sees shark fins in the water, and the life guards come running, you know, and they're pulling everybody out of the water. But the story does not stop there, because he goes back to San Jose, and he hadn't gone to the doctor or anything. It's just, you know, it's not that deep, right? And his one of his coworkers says, man, you look bad. You know, you should go have that checked out. And they do MRI, and then they do, what are these other things they do? Yeah, CAT scans and CMTs or something like that, you know. And they go, yeah, you know, you have soft tissue damage from this impact. And you have a walnut-sized tumor on your kidney that is hereditary. And his grandmother had died from stomach cancer. And had they not gone in and checked him out, that tumor in his kidney would have metastasized and spread all throughout his stomach, and he would have died from stomach cancer. And because of the pain from the impact of the shark, he was able to be saved. The title of the story that they did in the Mercury News was A Message from God. Amen. And God will send us messages when we need to make changes in our lives so that we can be transformed and have better relationship with our wives, have better relationships with Him. Him. Amen. Everybody's got to change for heaven. Amen? 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 All right, let's keep going. A change of direction. Dad comes running. So he got up and he went to his father. Remember, he's in a foreign land. He's in a far land. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick! Bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate." Dad comes running. Dad was running and dad was looking. The parable reveals the heart of God to the lost. And the Pharisees are challenged. I hope you're blessed. I'm blessed because I was down and out when the Lord found me. Instead of pushing him away, the father welcomes him, puts a robe on him, puts a ring, gives him a position of honor, and says, "We're going to have a celebration today." You want to make a change this morning? God will welcome you home. Confession and repentance are part of the program. See, everybody changes in heaven. This young man changed. Son came back to be a hired hand and was given a position of honor. We have a good God, amen? Yes. The older brother, remember who he represents, right? The Pharisees and the teachers of the law. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him, with the older brother. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders." Doesn't really sound like a real warm relationship there. Can I get a witness on that? Slaving for you, never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never even gave me a goat so I could go party with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. My son, see, Pharisees are lost too. And in the same way that the father's heart goes out to the sinner and the tax collector, his heart goes out to the Pharisee. He says, "My son, you are always with me and everything I have is yours, but we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and he is found." There's a problem with the older son. Just doesn't get him. Don't let him back in. He has made choices. Let him live in those choices. He has taken your money. He has taken your resources. He has taken your opportunity and turned his back on them. Let him be outside. Let him stay outside. I want no part of this. And the walls are up between the father and the older son. The younger son comes back humble and says, "Oh, Dad, just let me come and work for you." And he says, "My boy." And the older son, with arrogance, says, "You owe me. How can you do this?" See, the heart of the younger son is exposed, but the heart of the older son is exposed as well. The older son represents the Pharisees, and they don't even know they're lost. See, Jesus comes to the lost. He also comes to the found. Everybody changes in the kingdom. How about you? Where are you at today? Lisa, you want to come up and play? You looking for change? Message of the gospel is for you this morning. You could be lost. You could come in here and pain of your life has so struck your heart. The devil will say, you can't come back. God doesn't love you. God's got no room for you. There's a whole book of rules and regulations that God will never take you back. You have broken them all. Let me remind you, and he'll go through and tell you how lost you are. But Jesus says, no, you're missing the heart of the Lord. Because he's looking at you from a long way off. He's saying, you want heaven? Bend a knee. Come in asking for forgiveness. Promising a transformation. And Lord, will you save me? I'm lost and I'm alone. Jesus says, my blood paid for heaven for you. Everybody changes in heaven. Perhaps this morning you are looking for a change. Perhaps this morning you are going, oh, so much pain. Like Roki going, I'm just going to do it my way. I'm just going to do it my way. Pastor Bob even said, but life shows it, both he and I are wrong. And we all need to change. Amen? And change is hard. Amen? And this morning you're sitting there and you're going, oh, I need to change. The pain in your life is great enough that you can see it. The Lord is right here pointing it out to your heart. And he opens the door to heaven and said, are you ready for change? Take your whole life to get in. But I paid to open the door to you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, I thank you that you are in this place, Lord, and that your mercy from heaven shines, and that you celebrate when one lost sheep comes in, when one lost coin comes in, Lord, and you celebrate when one lost soul comes in. Lord, let there be a celebration this morning as your Holy Spirit touches hearts and touches souls, that there would be those that would come in out of the cold. There would be those who would come in from being lost saying, Lord, I need to be found. I don't want to be lost anymore. I don't want to hurt anymore. Find me, Lord, a sinner, Lord. Transform me into something brand new. The Lord is speaking to your heart this morning. Offers you new hope where there was only despair. And you say, Lord, I want to be found. I just invite you to just raise your hand and say, Lord, that's me this morning. Find me here, Lord, in San Diego this morning. Here, I see that hand.